today as we come to the table.
A lot of people today look for the Antichrist and think, well, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that world leader, maybe it's that world leader. That's not the picture we get from the Bible. The picture we get from the Bible is this guy, nobody really knows who he is. He's going to start out small and unknown, and he's going to rise up quickly with the power and authority that Satan gives him, and God will allow Satan to give him that authority. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, he tried to give it to Jesus and have Jesus do things a different way. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And the Lord said, you know, get behind me. You know, it's the Lord our God, him alone shall you worship and bow down to. So Jesus rejected it. Well, the Antichrist will make that same offering.
The Antichrist. Is he alive today? No one knows. He's described in Daniel as a little horn and probably unknown. He will begin as a small, insignificant leader who rises up quickly. He will be given power and authority by Satan and will do away with other world leaders and take supreme leadership of the world. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark shows us how God foretells about the end times and this Antichrist's, or little horns, rise to power. It's important to understand his strength and power will be supernatural and given to him by Satan. The images in Daniel are consistent with the same images in the book of Revelation. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
So in Daniel's vision, he sees this beast with this strength of 10 horns, if you will. But also, we know we're going to find next week, because we're not going to get there that far, so I'm going to have to tell you now, because we won't cover it till next week, these 10 horns represent 10 rulers, or possibly 10 regions when you put Daniel and Revelation together. And if it is 10 regions, they'll probably still have a ruler over each region. Possibly 10 rulers, 10 regions in the world that'll be dividing up this revived Roman Empire. And again, the iron and the clay shows they won't totally agree or adhere to each other as solid iron would, but it appears they're going to be forced into this mold, if you will. And the whole world's going to have to go along. Some will agree, some won't agree, but it's going to be run by these kings, maybe over regions, if you will. Now, I find that interesting. I don't know for sure it'll be just regions or just kings or maybe a mixture of both. But I find it interesting that President Biden, about 3 weeks ago, signed this agreement with Mexico and Canada that we would become a region with them as one region in many different applications, if you will. And I find that interesting because maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't know it. The UN has the world divided up into 10 regions. Isn't that interesting? And now we have our region, was Canada, America, and Mexico. And now those three leaders recently got together and agreed, and whatever this agreement was in these three-nation conglomerate, we've kind of pulled the trigger on our end, is my understanding. What that fully means yet, we don't know. But I think we're going to see other nations be doing that as well, as America often is leading the way. But I do think we could see the earth broken up into 10 regions, so be watching for that. Definitely these 10 leaders that are over these regions as this takes place. And so notice what he says. It gets more intense here. He says, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. Now, this is interesting. You have this new horn that shows up. He's another horn, a small horn. We'll see this later in Daniel, but also in Revelation, we talked about symbols being consistent. This horn represents the Antichrist. And it's interesting because, again, he'll be a symbol of strength. It'll be a horn that raises up, but notice how he starts. He starts out as a small horn. Why is that interesting to me? Because he's apparently going to be a relatively unknown. A lot of people today look for the Antichrist and think, well, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that world leader, maybe it's that world leader. That's not the picture we get from the Bible. The picture we get from the Bible is this guy, nobody really knows who he is. He's going to start out small and unknown, And he's going to rise up quickly with the power and authority that Satan gives him. And God will allow Satan to give him that authority. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, he tried to give it to Jesus and have Jesus do things a different way. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And the Lord said, you know, get behind me. You know, it's the Lord our God, him alone shall you worship and bow down to. So Jesus rejected it. Well, the Antichrist will make that same offer, it would appear, to this little horn. And he's going to go, really? I'll take you up on it. Make me the ruler of the world. Satan will give him that power. He will rise to rulership of the world quickly, have authority and supernatural power given by the spiritual realm. He will take three of these kings or rulers over these 10 regions or however it's broken up. And it says here, notice, he's going to yank them out by the roots. We don't know why. We don't know who. We just know he's going to yank them out and do away with them. And then there'll be the seven that remain, and he'll be the eighth ruling over everything as this world ruler. And it says, notice there was in the horn eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke pompous words. Again, it's very interesting. You're going to notice that every time you see the Antichrist in Scripture, he's always a loud mouth. He's always a big mouth. He's always speaking pompous words, arrogant words, blasphemous words against God and against God's people. And so he's going to be, again, somebody that the world loves, and they're going to see the power that he has and the anointing that he has. I say anointing, not God's anointing, but a demonic power, if you will, that's going to be upon him, an ability, a wisdom to solve problems, to do things, to bring the world back together and have everything under him, if you will. And the world's going to be astounded by this man because they don't know about Jesus Christ and they don't know they're being deceived. And he's going to be in the process talking about how he's God. At some point, he's going to declare that he's God. And he'll be blaspheming the God of heaven and blaspheming the saints on the earth. Because remember, the Bible says that Satan wants to be like God. Now, it's interesting. You know, Satan is limited. God knows everything we're thinking. God knows everything we're doing. He knows everything about us. Satan doesn't know that. He has limited ability. He certainly has enough wisdom to figure a lot of things out about us because he's lived for a long time. That's why he deceives every generation with the same thing over and over and over, because one dies, he pulls out the same trick that worked for that generation. They go right back in the same pattern, and it just keeps repeating because he has the advantage of eternity. He has the advantage of continuing on and taking advantage of the fact that we die and the next generation arises. But it's interesting because, again, one of the things that the Antichrist is going to need is control of mankind worldwide to be able to be like God. If he's going to control everyone and have everyone bow down to him and everyone under control, he's either going to put them to death or have control of them. He's going to need some way to control them. And that's why I find a lot of this new technology very interesting. Again, it's interesting now with some of the technology that they're developing. They say they now have technology, and I saw a man in a video the other day speaking about it. They have a technology now that you've been hearing some of the conversations. Again, if you're looking at some of the World Bank leaders and one particular World Bank leader talking about digitizing money worldwide, whenever that takes place, that's the goal of the World Banks. They'll be able to keep up with everyone's transactions. And someone asked him, how is it you're going to keep up with those transactions? I was watching this video. He said, we already have something in place. He said, we're putting a small device in their hand. And he said that device will allow us to keep up with everyone on the planet, all their transactions and everything, so that we can monitor the banking systems of the world. Now, of course, if you're a believer and you know what the Bible says, your antennas go up. And so you look at that and say, oh my goodness, this is leading right into what the Bible talks about in Revelation 13 as the mark of the beast, which, by the way, never let anyone put some implant in your head or your hand. By the way, is everybody with me on that? And so that is going to be something where, again, that's their goal anyways, to try to do that. But what's interesting, they said, you know, it goes beyond that. We can use this for many things health-wise. It's kind of like when you wear your Apple Watch, it tells your heart rate, what your emotions are to some degree. They were saying, well, when this thing's in there, you'll know exactly what people are feeling and thinking by their emotions. At least you have a good idea. And he said this real insidious thing. This Yuval Noah Harari, you've heard me talk about him before. He's this Jewish professor from Hebrew University that they call the prophet, if you will. There's world leaders go to this guy for counsel and wisdom. And it's very interesting. I don't necessarily think he's the Antichrist or the false prophet, but he's certainly speaking by that same spirit. And he said, here's the thing about this. He said, we can use it for a lot of real good things. He said, but you know what? This would be a dream in a dictator's hand. I'm like, why are you telling us that? It's very insidious the way he presents it. He said, because what can happen is if you're in a large gathering and you're showing devotion to them, but you're really not feeling it, he'll be able to tell that by looking at a monitor and looking at seeing what your heart rate is and what's really going on in your heart. So he can call you out and remove you if you're not really on board with everybody else. Again, it reminds me of Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il. You know, when they put all this fear in their people and they walk in, everybody's clapping like this and smiling real big because they know they're going to get killed if they don't. He said, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to know whether that guy clapping really means it. Is he faking it or not? Guys, that's creepy stuff, okay? Told you I'd encourage you today. You'll be encouraged before we leave. Don't worry. Jesus is on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. He's controlling all things. That's our encouragement. But the bottom line is that he wants to get as much information and control of mankind as he can, and he's going to use devices to do it. Again, it's amazing to think how much technology has advanced. I think back, do you realize we had the first Apple phone, the first iPhone, if you will, which we think of, Apple may have been leading the way. I don't remember who even led the way on that, but it's 2007. And then look at what technology. It seems like people have had iPhones forever. It's kind of like you had, like, back in the garden, Adam and Eve. You know, where's your iPhone? I left it. Oh, you left it under that tree. Get away from that. That's an Apple device. Get that over here now. Get away. Anyway, but it'll sink in. It was a megabyte. But look how technology is advancing. Look at how technology is advancing. Guys, this is going so rapid, okay? And so the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, we'll get there later, that technology is going to explode in the last days. Because we didn't have this technology until just recently. Everyone wonder, are we really in the last days? Well, Daniel said in the last days, you're going to see technology explode. It's exploding. So you wonder, are we really seeing the signs? I believe so. Why didn't God allow technology to explode until the last days? Because this would have happened long before God wanted it to. And of course, the Antichrist would have been able to take the world over before God said that he could. So God controls all these things, and God's in control of it. But either way, he's going to, again, this Antichrist is going to be seeking to have control of the world. That's why, again, the mark of the beast is necessary, is to control mankind and to be able to run as God, if you will, with his limited ability, because he won't have the true ability of God Almighty. Now, notice what happens in verse 9. He says, I watched until thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels, we'll come back to that, a burning fire. Again, first of all, notice he says, thrones were put in place. That's exciting to me because Jesus told his disciples, they said, Lord, what will we get if we leave everything and follow you? He said, you will sit with me on thrones in Jerusalem. You will sit on 12 thrones. Now, again, does that mean that all of us will sit on thrones? I can't say that. But I do know this. It says in Revelation that every one of us in here are going to be, if you know Jesus Christ, you are kings and priests unto God. Which why you may seem like the off-scouring to the world and those that they want to mock and make fun of. Guys, realize you're sitting in a room literally filled with royalty for eternity. I mean, that's a humbling thought to think about. I think, my goodness. You know, again, when you think about who we really are in relation to the world, the way the world treats God's people, and God looking at it going, you just wait. You're going to see how rapidly and dramatically the roles are reversed. And if you're wise, you'll kiss the king while you still can. And that's exactly what's happening. So, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that the saved will judge the earth. Isn't that amazing? The saved will judge the earth. And even beyond that, it says that we will even be judging fallen angels. Now, I've heard people say before when it says we'll judge angels, it's obviously talking about fallen angels because holy angels, they don't have any sin. So we're not going to be judging them. So I hear people say things, you know, why is it, Lord, that, you know, when I was 5 years old, you let me fly over the handlebars and break my tooth there, and that angel didn't guard me. When I stand there and judge that angel, I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, here's why the angel did it, because you were an idiot standing on the seat. That was me, so anyway, that particular wreck, I wasn't on the seat, but that did happen. But either way, I can't blame my angel and say, you didn't guard me in that bicycle wreck. You didn't guard me in that. And that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, you're going to be judging fallen angels. I mean, what an amazing thing to think about. These creatures that God created, these beings that were there in heaven with him, and you guys are going to be judging them. Really a very awesome thing to think about when you try to really just kind of think through this thing. And notice here he says, the Ancient of Days was seated. The Bible tells us, again, here's another one of those symbols that's consistent throughout Scripture. The Ancient of Days is the Father form. Okay, now what do I mean by that, the Father form? You got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is seen as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Christ, etc. The Father form of that is Ancient of Days, yet they're all one, which we'll see in just a moment. They're together. Well, next week we'll see that. And you say, how could that be? Well, we'll understand it then. We don't fully understand it now. It's the mystery of the Trinity, if you will. But it says the Ancient of Days was seated here when all this was taking place. And notice here it says, its wheels, a burning fire. That is the throne. He says, he talks about his throne was a fiery flame and its wheels a burning fire. That catches my attention because I remember going on an Israel trip one time. It never caught my attention until one of our Israel trips. Looking at some of the archaeology, they dug some things up and they had the Ark of the Covenant on this stone from thousands of years ago and had wheels on it. And I'm thinking, wheels on the Ark? Did they like roll it around? No, it was carrying wire wheels on it. And I realized that when God revealed his throne in Ezekiel chapter 1, He has cherubim on all four corners of his throne. And it says that the cherubim, note this, have attached to their body. And it says it is a part of the angel. It's literally a part of the cherubim is a giant wheel within a wheel. And as you watch this thing, it goes straight like this, back and forth. It runs in 90-degree angles. It says every way they went, their face, you know, faced, and they would just go that way, come back. Lightning and thunder going between them underneath the throne of God. But these wheels that surround the throne. So in the ancient carvings, they would draw these wheels on the Ark of the Covenant because the Ark of the Covenant represented the throne of God. Now, I find this extremely interesting. When you see these wheels here around the throne on these cherubim, again, because, again, there's going to be great deceptions in the last days. And, you know, it's interesting, for some reason, I don't know, maybe about, was it about a year ago, 2 years ago, it used to be that flying saucers, you were a conspiracy theorist, if you believe that, right? The government's pushing that now. The government is saying there are real beings and are things, and we don't know what's going on here. And they released, you remember the video they released where these jet fighters are following this thing, and the government, you know, released it or whatever, and they're talking about going, what is that thing? I don't know. And it's glowing, and all of a sudden, we have our fastest fighter jets, and that thing just goes, whoo, it's just gone. And there's two ways to look at that. Either somebody has way greater technology than we do, and we lead the world in technology, or something bizarre is going on. Now, most people, well, it's little green men on another planet, and we have visitors. Guys, let me say this. I won't get in a fight with you about it, but I'm convinced by Scripture there are no other beings on other planets. Now, don't shut me off from this point on the rest of the service if you believe there is. Hear what I have to say. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the word all there is the word pos in the Greek, which is all-inclusive of all creation. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible says that Jesus died for the sin of the world, singular, not sins of the worlds, plural, which means to me, no one has died for anyone else out there. And if they are sinners like we are, then they were created condemned. And that's not the God I see in the Scripture. Now, do I believe there are extraterrestrial beings in our terrestry? Yeah. They're called angels and fallen angels. And when you see the wheel within the wheel that surrounds the throne of God, by the way, did you know, and I'm sure you did, Satan is a cherubim. Which means Satan has a wheel attached to him. And a wheel within a wheel. Now, is it like a gyroscope or is it one within one? Again, if you go back and watch that government video they released, you know what the difference anymore, they say the joke going around, the difference between a conspiracy and a conspiracy theory now is about a year. And you look at that video, and I'm watching this video going, Lord, this is supernatural. And I'm thinking of Ezekiel chapter 1, right? And the fallen angels. So I'm watching this thing. And it turns, and if you go watch the video, it turns, and when it turns, I kid you not, you'll see it, it looks like a wheel this way and a wheel that way. A perfect description of the cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 1, a wheel within a wheel. I think some of these, now, look, a lot of these flying saucer things, they're fake. Throw that trash can lid, get it, got it, Bucky. You know, you put it online, and there you are, and you got, we seen it, you know. That's trash talk, don't listen to that. But some of it I think is real. I think some of it's real. I think what the government released was real. And I think they realized this is real. We need to put this out there. I think they were freaking out about it. But it's not real little green men from other planets. I believe that God is allowing the demonic realm to manifest, maybe even Satan himself in that particular video. Who knows? To, again, start to manipulate the mindset of the world toward the supernatural. Because the Antichrist is going to be using the supernatural. The Bible says he'll be calling down lightning from heaven. Okay, this is not normal. So you're going to see, in the last days, we're going to see some very interesting supernatural spiritual things, but the Bible describes them all. This is not something you have to watch in some late night show on whatever. This is all described in the Bible, and it's there. And I think we're going to see more of that as we get closer to the return of the Lord. It's just part of it. More deception and more things that are going to be sent our way. The bottom line for us is we need to make sure we know the Word of God, that we know what's coming, and we need to be sharing the gospel with everybody around us so they know that as well. And so, you know, as we finish this portion, I'm not going to try to go anywhere beyond verse 9 because, again, I don't think we could get any farther than that today, and I didn't do it with the other two, so I couldn't leave them behind. But there's a couple things I want us to know is, and that is this, listen, regardless of this dreadful beast we talked about and how it's going to be in the last days, you guys need to be greatly encouraged. Jesus is on the throne. And by the way, every time you look throughout history, we've talked about this. There's three kinds of wrath. There's God's wrath, there's man's wrath, and there's Satan's wrath. The church has always experienced Satan's wrath and man's wrath. But the church has never experienced God's wrath. Never throughout history. With Noah, God put the righteous on an ark. In Sodom and Gomorrah, God removed the righteous. With Babylon, God sent them on to Babylon before he judged Jerusalem. Again, in Jerusalem in Jesus' day, he took the believers out due to persecution before Rome came in and destroyed them in 70 AD. A lot of times people say, well, why would God allow the church to escape all this persecution? All the other generations have had to have persecution. No, you're thinking of it backwards. Every generation has had persecution to some degree. Now, we've been blessed in this nation not to have that much persecution, but there's never been a generation of the church that has faced God's wrath, ever. So why would God change it in the last days and have the last generation face his wrath? That would be the change, and not the other way around. God has taken his people out consistently in doing that. And so although we see this terrible beast that's coming and all these things that are happening, we take solace to know that the Lord's coming back to get us. And for those of you that know the Lord, there's going to be a point where God's going to swoop us up and take us out of here. We don't know when that's going to be. But for some of you this morning, God is knocking on your heart. You know, the Bible says this. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever hears my voice and opens, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. It means it gives a picture of oneness, becoming one, born again. And right now, God is opening up some of your eyes as you look through that peephole of the door of the Spirit and you see the Lord standing there. And he's knocking, saying, if you will simply open the door, I will come in with you and I'll be one with you. That's the call of the Spirit today. And so as we finish today, I want to pray and ask again for the Lord to just grow us in prophecy, grow us in understanding, prepare us for the days in which we live. But at the same time, for those of you that don't know the Lord, to make that decision to receive him this morning. So let's finish and give God an opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope you give us as believers. Lord, to know that, Lord, you have rescued your children throughout history from your wrath. And your word tells us that the great tribulation is going to be a time of God's wrath. So, Lord, we rest assured that you're going to be consistent in that and remove us from that wrath that's coming upon the entire world, what your word calls the time of Jacob's trouble. And so we thank you for that, Lord. But God, there may be some in this room right now and some watching by video or listening by radio that have never made that decision. And right now they hear you, God, knocking on their heart, that knock on the door saying, will you open to me? Lord, we know you're a gentleman. You're not going to kick the door down. You're not going to force anybody into the kingdom. But Lord, you do knock. And for those of you out now that hear the knock of the Lord on your heart, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, open the door. Confess to the Lord that you're a sinner. Tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty before your throne. Ask him to forgive you. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me on the cross, and I believe you rose again the third day. And so, Lord, I give my life to you, and I choose to follow you the rest of eternity. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says you'll be born again. All your sins will be forgiven. And you're not only going to have eternity in heaven, I believe you're going to be seated with the believers at the wedding supper of the Lamb while all these terrible things are happening down here on earth. And Father, it sure looks like these things are about to happen at any moment. Help us, God, to be ready and to be prepared. I thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit this morning, God, and we give you all the glory for what you've done and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you find it hard to faithfully serve God in this ever-increasing sinful world? The draw to engage in fleshly desires is strong for sure. So, what do you do when those temptations come? When your faith is challenged, do you trust in God to give you the courage to stand as he did with Daniel and his friends? That's right. Daniel lived during the time of oppressive Babylonian rule, but still managed to serve God. This gives me encouragement. It propels me to follow Daniel's example as I go about my daily tasks. Come to the Tables Ministry flows from Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee, where hearts are devoted to spreading the good news of the gospel. If you've been a longtime listener, we're thankful you keep coming back. But we have something to ask you. Would you invite your friends and family to listen to our broadcasts? We welcome newcomers here and at our church service. Would you consider joining Calvary Knoxville on a Saturday evening, Sunday morning, or a midweek evening? For times and directions, visit thewaymedia.net. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. We'd encourage you to drop what you're doing and go there now. You won't regret it. In fact, We hope you stay a while and check out other messages of Pastor Mark Kirk's. His teachings go beyond the book of Daniel and are worth a listen. While you're there, don't miss links to our podcasts. This is a great tool to utilize if you're always on the move. Do you have questions or comments about what you heard today? Get started by clicking the Come to the Table tab on thewaymedia.net. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.